This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Vinny watched the games from the owner's box. Haney sat with Wild Bill Hagee.
Come on, Ken! Put it in the bullpen!
Vinny and Haney.
Come on, Al! Hit a home run now!
105.7 The Fan.
Pretty humbling, pretty cool. Obviously, still letting it process, but I mean, that's pretty badass to be into a professional organization's Hall of Fame, one that has such prestige as the Orioles does. Well, I mean, guys, I mean, tell them Markakis, who played 7 years there. I'm sorry, nine. I'm sorry for disrespecting Nick. DJ played six, seven years in Baltimore. I mean, especially in our playoff years, very formidable shortstop. We got the accolades to back it up, so. Definitely fits into the Orioles Hall of Fame. Well, you got a generation, you know, like the generation that watched my teams, they grew up with not so much winning in there as their childhood. And then they get some winning as an adult in there. Now, the cool thing is they get to share it with their young kids. They got a great group here. You put yourself in a position. All you want to do is put yourself in the dance. And once it starts, it's tough. You got to do all the little things, whatever scratch and claw to win. This team has gotten the taste of it. You could see by the spring training, they're a little more focused.
Adam Jones, one of the new members of the Orioles Hall of Fame, yesterday meeting with the media down in Florida. Jonesy, Gold Glove, multiple-time winner, multiple-time All-Star, Silver Slugger, and kind of the guy in that trade, the Eric Bedard trade with Seattle, who was the centerpiece of turning that team around. And as he mentioned, after the 97 season, where the Orioles were wire to wire, then were upset by the Indians, as they were called at the time, in the ALCS. They were the best team in baseball in 1997, didn't win. It's all about who got the ring and what net. It's the Marlins, as a matter of fact. But he was the guy that they had kind of built that team around. Drafted Matt Wieters. Chris Tillman was part of the Jones trade. You made shrewd moves, Dan Duquette, for the J.J. Hardys. You had drafted Nick Markakis a year or two prior, who was an anchor for that team as well. You had the Texas trade with Koji that brought you Chris Davis, Tommy Hunter. Miguel Gonzalez kind of came out of nowhere as a free agent and developed into a guy who was very reliable for you in the rotation. But Adam Jones, he was the center fielder that they had built kind of the team around. And now works for the Orioles, works for Mike Elias, and now is in the Orioles Hall of Fame. This is a duh. If I'm, and look, let me stress this. Paul Blair is my all-time favorite Oriole, and I mean that with all due respect to all of the other great players that have worn the black and orange. But Adam Jones is the best center fielder all around in Orioles history. Blair was one of the great defensive center fielders in the history of baseball and could hit a homer and had big offensive years himself, steal bases. Brady Anderson, Al Bunbury was rookie of the year and an all-star. I mean, I don't want to forget anybody, so I'll stop naming names. Cedric Mullins, 30 for 30. But overall, inch for inch, pound for pound, Adam Jones, in my opinion, not your opinion, my opinion, is the best center fielder in Orioles history. And that says something because I just named some of the others who have patrolled that position for this team. And he also mentioned, you know, Markakis and J.J. Hardy. And by the way, Joe Ursulak, Slack, of course, my first 4 years that Baltimore Baseball Tonight even existed here on 105.7 The Fan started 2011. Joe Ursulak was my sidekick along with Jen Royal and Jim Ducat for the first 4 years of it. And Glenn Yunis, of course. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize again. But Slack gets in. And if you look at his numbers during his 5 years in Baltimore, I think we kind of forget how good he was on bad teams. 12 years in the league. Great defensive outfielder. Great arm. I mean, very prominent part of the 89 Orioles. One of my all-time favorite Orioles teams. Tom Davis, I'm surprised he hadn't been in years ago, quite frankly. I mean, this guy's been covering the Orioles since the late 60s, early 70s. HTS, Masson. I mean, he was the guy at HTS. It was Lowenstein Proctor, Tom Davis. Between any reports, Calvert Hall guy. So, Tom Davis, congratulations to you, along with Slack and Adam Jones. But also heard, and Nolan, get in here. It's Vinny and Haney. Vinny's off. It's me and Nolan. Featured artist Friday. By the way, I don't even know who that is. We'll find out here in a couple of minutes. Old Bobster was at the retina doctor. And I got two thumbs up. Two thumbs up from the retina doctor. Still can't see all that great, but better than it was about 4 months ago. But talking about it, when the Orioles became a winning product, and we talked about Jones being the prominent part of it. The building block, if you will. Like, Nolan, you were born in...
96.
You're my daughter's age. So, 96, 97, obviously, unless you're like a brilliant mind, you don't remember those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they sucked for a long, long time. So in 2012, that would have made you 16?
Correct.
Ah, so there you go.
I think. I'm somewhere there, in that.
I don't know. You went to college. I got a GED. My GED reunion's coming up this year, by the way. Anyway, that was your first taste of winning baseball. And for me, being an older guy, hey, look, they, you know, as I've said many times, 19 of the first 20 years I walked the face of the planet, they were above 500 and contended and went to 6 World Series. I grew up, Orioles are going to be good this year. You didn't even know what that was like until then. So now he talks about that as kind of a building block for you and the Tim Barbalaces, the Lanolins of the world, your first taste of winning baseball. And it tasted good, didn't it?
The impact's still there. To this day, that's still my favorite Orioles team of all time. And, you know, 2014, the team was even better. They reached even greater heights. You win 101 games a couple of years ago, but 2012 is still that team for me. That's that team that's always going to be special for me for my entire life. And Jones was the face of that. He was the heartbeat of that team. You know, starting with, I think that was the year they started up the shaving cream pies in the face, and then it developed into actual pies a few years later. I mean, this guy was the Orioles. He was the face of the team.
And he also talked about, you know, along with Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette, I think it's forgotten for everything that some of the moves he. Hey, look, Cedric Mullins, Ryan Mountcastle, Grayson Rodriguez. We'll get into all of that. Among others, they're all Dan Duquette guys. I mean, so he kind of built a lot of the, now they're all hitting free. Hey, he brought in Santander. He brought in Felix Bautista. I mean, he did a lot of good things that are still part of the nucleus of this team. But Jonesy also talked about, and we'll call him Jonesy because we're all friends, taking the next step in a postseason. And Adam Jones himself even said this core group better than one he played with, because that was more, it was Manny, of course, the young nucleus of him, Manny Markakis. Like, Manny was certainly in the infancy as a ball player. They were young guys, but had some grizzled veteranness to them, Zach Britton, et cetera, et cetera. He thinks the upside here is much greater because there's more athleticism and they're younger. They hit this mark way before that Jones era team did, being contenders and competing and getting the playoffs and all of that.
But I do see some similarities now that I think about it. Lineup wise, much more homegrown now here in the 2020s. I mean, almost everyone in the lineup is homegrown, whereas back in 2012 they were buying some pieces, the Mark Reynolds of the world. They went out and signed them, but pitching this year, at least the way it's stacking up on paper, does kind of remind me of that 2012, 2014 rotations where there wasn't a clear-cut number one guy. You had guys that had potential to be, you know, more front-end starters, but there wasn't a true ace. It was really about the collective effort and guys coming from all over the place. You get a veteran like Charlie Morton this year, maybe kind of like a Jason Hamill was back then. I mean, a Sagano coming from overseas, a Wei-Yin Chen type of thing. I mean, I don't know. Now that I look at it on paper, and if they live up to certainly the standard of 2014, which was just a hodgepodge rotation, kind of just the five number threes that came together and it was lightning in a bottle, kind of looking to capture that again this year.
Yeah, and injuries wound up derailing that team because Manny got hurt, Weeders got hurt, Chris Davis got suspended. He wasn't having a monster season, but still, I mean, he brought that power element to it. And for them, quite frankly, to even make it to the ALCS, if you look at it in retrospect, kind of an impressive thing. I mean, Miller and Britton at the back end of the bullpen, O'Day, I mean, that was incredible. But they rolled through Price, Verlander, and Scherzer in Texas, or not Texas, Detroit. And then we all assumed they would house Kansas City and got housed in four close games. But Jones talking about getting that next step, winning a series. I think if they win a series, maybe even a game, assuming they make the playoffs, and I believe they will, they could be off to the races here.
Right. And it would just be a weight lifted. Just the first win. If they're divisional round, wild card, wherever they end up, just that first win will be a sigh of relief. Okay, here we go. That's out of the way. We don't have to worry about that narrative. We can't win anymore. Get that out of the way and then go from there. I mean, that's the thing when you have such a young team and these guys are young, they're great, they're so talented, their best years are still ahead of them. That's the most exciting part. But they have to learn how to win. And if there isn't a guy already in the clubhouse or just in general anywhere on the team that has done this before, it can be hard. You know, you can dream about it. You can fantasize about, oh, man, what would it be like to play in October in the World Series and all that? But you just truly don't know until you get there. And even guys that had great success in college, Adley Rutschman, you know, College World Series.
Yeah, Golden Spikes winner.
It pales in comparison to October baseball in Major League Baseball.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Terps tomorrow. Host Northwestern, 3 o'clock, a game you can hear, 105.7 The Fan. Michigan State beat Iowa last night, so they've clinched the Big Ten championships. Matter of fact, when Maryland beat Michigan a couple of nights ago, kind of made it a fait accompli. But Maryland could finish second in the Big Ten standings, third right now. We'll talk to Keith Cavanaugh about that bottom of the hour. Also talk to Bill Bender from Sporting News later in the show. As Maryland right now, one of the best teams in college basketball down the stretch. Yes, games are frustrating. Maryland should have beat Michigan by 20 points the other night. They went on the road, so you're not going to nitpick. Hey, make your foul shots. Maybe make some of these open jumpers. Do what you got to do. Handle your business, but a win's a win. Now you try to avoid the upset against Northwestern. Remember, Northwestern beat them in overtime back in January, but one of their best players has not played in over a month. As a matter of fact, out for the year. We'll get into that. NFL free agency. Hey, Joey Bosa. He got released by the old Chargers. Would he look good in the Ravens uniform? Sure. How much is it going to cost, though?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Through the third week of June, the Orioles were the best team in baseball, at the very least, the best team in the American League. And then they weren't. Injuries became a problem. Struggling players who get out of funks for long periods of time. Runners in scoring position was, let's just say, unacceptable. But they had built up so much offensive firepower throughout the course of the year, first half plus, they still finished, fourth in runs, second in homers. But that runners in scoring position number, which was dreadful, doomed them. Just look at the playoff loss to Kansas City. And in 2023, when they won 101 games, They were the best team in baseball with runners in scoring position. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. And we're going to sit here and talk some Orioles. We're going to talk some Terps. We're going to talk some sports and featured artists Friday. David Bowie. Ziggy plays guitar. Now, are you a big David Bowie fan?
I don't hate him, but I'm not going to be a poser and tell you I'm a super fan or anything.
Okay, it's not what I asked you, yes or no?
I like his music.
Okay, there
you go. But if you start asking me, oh, what'd you think about ABC 123 album or X album?
Well, I'm not asking you to bring out the deep cuts.
Right.
But that was like Spiders from Mars. And then he was in Spiders from Mars, Ziggy Stardust. Then he moved into his fame era when John Lennon was doing like some background vocals. Then he got into the modern love. He reinvented himself like a bazillion times. By the way, same birthday as the old Bobster here, January 8th. No longer part of this universe. But David Bowie, I've always kind of been a fan. I'm more of the metal-y sort of thing when it comes to rock music anyway, and he kind of could hit some buttons there. Mick Ronson was a great guitar player. So David Bowie, we're jamming him because you picked it out there. Everybody at 410-583-1057. Now back to Tyler O'Neill. We'll talk to Rich Dubrow at bottom of the hour from BaltimoreBaseball.com. He got scratched. Not because he has an itch. He got scratched yesterday before last night before the Pirates game. Rib cage issue. And we'll talk to Rich again because he's there. But Nolan, Brandon Hyde said it's going to miss a couple of days. They're not overly concerned with it. Let's not forget Tyler O'Neill's baseball career, St. Louis, Boston, riddled with injury concerns. He spent three times on the IL last year for the Red Sox, and he hit 31 homers. Because I'm sitting here going, man, with the Yankees. Heel, ooh, LeMahieu, wow. Stanton, both elbows. Oh, look at them, injuries. And now all of a sudden, it's O'Neill, Grayson, Gunner. Good news is Westberg came back last night. Yeah, it's only spring, but the O'Neill one's concerning because there's a history there.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. If he doesn't play tomorrow or Sunday, I think I'll maybe start to feel a little worse about it, but it sounds like he'll be out there. Of all the injuries you just mentioned, this one's probably pretty far down the list for me. Still more concerned about Gunner, just because it's an unknown. You know, the status for opening day is up in the air. And Andrew Kittredge, you know, getting the MRI on the knee.
That's bad
yeah,
news.
Second, third opinions. Anytime you hear that, that's never good. So those are kind of the big two for me. And then Grayson, obviously. The other day, we talked about him losing a little bit on the velocity. Actually, not a little bit. A lot of it. I mean, you know, fastballs in the high 80s.
Yeah, 89 was his last pitch.
I mean, that's like an injured John Means. Dylan Bundy at the end. Not good.
And it's a tricep. And he said he felt sluggish, lethargic. And it's we had just talked about his importance to the rotation. And about the high 90s triple digits fastball that did top out at like 95 plus. But the last one, as we said, he just threw. Or threw against Minnesota was 89, or Detroit, whoever they played, was 89 miles an hour. So that's concerning as well because this is a guy that missed the last 2 months and the postseason of 2024. And when Gunnar Henderson, and it looks like it might be a reality, he couldn't be ready for opening day. When you lose your best player, I'm not saying it's catastrophic to the big picture, but certainly not an ideal situation to start the year. And I don't know if you talked about it yesterday real quick, Nolan. I'm not moving Holiday to short. He stays at second. That's his new position. You got to figure something out here, though, if you're Hyder moving forward.
Right. Yeah, we did yesterday a bit, and to me it seemed natural in a short term that you just put Ramon Arias there. And then, of course, go figure last night's game. You know, he gets brushed back with a heater there, goes down to the dirt, and you're thinking, oh, my God, now we're losing the backup.
Right, right.
You know, but he was okay. So
because Westberg was drafted as a shortstop, but we like him in third.
Right.
Where Arias did win a gold glove.
Yeah. So
Soto's been kicking ass.
Arias is playing somewhere no matter what.
Sure. But Gunnar Henderson not starting the year, bad. If it's an extended period of time, it's a tremendous setback. Grayson one's concerning. O'Neill, I'll be cautious like you. Kittredge, though, oh boy, that's not good.
Especially considering he was their only notable addition in the bullpen this year.
That's not good.
And who were they talking to who went to the Blue Jays? Hoffman? And there was that whole thing that they were close to reaching a deal with him, but there was a medical red flag.
Correct.
So now if the guy you did actually sign has the medical issue and Hoffman's healthy for the full season, not a good look.
Yeah, and the red flags wrapped around that sore knee. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk about all of this with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, David Bowie, featured artist. Friday, Terps tomorrow at 3 o'clock. You get here on The Fan. Taking on Northwestern. Chance to close out the season. Senior day at home with a win. In all likelihood, it's Derek Queen's last home game as well.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Ah, the aforementioned fame. John Lennon, part of this equation. For our younger listeners, he must be in the Beatles. Nolan, you'd know who the Beatles are, right?
I could pretend and say no, just to piss you off, but...
If I offered you $5, could you name all four Beatles?
Well.
Not by the last name, middle name, birth certificate.
John, Paul, Ringo, and Shemp.
Shemp.
The other one. Yeah.
Right. Well, Shemp.
George.
George, there you go. So even you know who they are. That's how iconic they are. But David Bowie was an icon himself, and there's fame. I mean, that song had so much rhythm, and it was so hip, it was on Soul Train. And you saw a 10-year-old Bob Haney out there dancing around because I got rhythm. Nah, actually, your average fire hydrant has more rhythm than I do. A tree. I just do hand movements, no leg movement whatsoever, other than to get out of the dance. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off. It's me and Nolan McGraw. Orioles, whoa. And you heard during Joe LaCroix's update. Well, these injuries that I was kind of like, hey, everybody stays healthy, everything's great. Well, they're not healthy. Not saying things aren't great. Give us a status report for BaltimoreBaseball.com. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours, Rich Dubroff. Rich, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Good morning, Bob. And in the words of David Bowie, let's dance.
Let's dance. All right. Tyler O'Neill, scratch yesterday with the ribs. Gunner with the intercostal thing. I'm not a doctor and I don't have muscles, but apparently his right side kind of hurts. Grayson with the tricep and the right arm, the velo baseball term drop from 95 to 89 in just the same game. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being we're screwed, where's our injury concerns with those three right now?
Well, I would the only one I would be slightly concerned about would be Grayson Rodriguez, because O'Neill, Brandon Hyde said he expected him to be back on Saturday, and it was rib cage. He said it was rib cage soreness, so I wouldn't be really concerned about that. For Henderson, I think that it's possible that he's not ready to start the season, but I don't think that this is a season changing injury at all. And, you know, it's possible he could be back beforehand, but if he misses 3 weeks now, that'll put him behind. You know, that'll put him behind. So I think it's very possible you won't see him for opening day. Grayson Rodriguez, I would be a little concerned about because he has a history of injuries, two injuries last year, triceps, you know, this year. And I don't know how long they'll put him down, you know, he'll be down for. But, you know, I would be a bit concerned there. I think actually the injury that I would be most concerned with is one that you didn't mention, and that's Andrew Kittredge. And he's got a knee injury. It's, you know, knee soreness, and he's gotten multiple opinions, and that's never a good sign. So I would be most concerned about Andrew Kittredge. Because I think he was set to be an important part of the club, and who knows what's going to happen. But I think that's the most troubling one.
All right. I want to turn it into a positive discussion here at some point in time, Rich Dubroff. But real quick, if Gutter doesn't start the season on the active roster, what's the plan at shortstop based on what Hyde has said and based on what you've seen so far down in Florida?
I think that they could start with Levon Soto there, or Luis Vasquez, or even Ramon Urias. I'm not sure. We haven't seen Urias play there. We haven't seen Jordan Westberg play there. And to stop any thinking, we have not seen Jackson Holiday play there. So I would think that, you know, maybe they go the defensive route with Soto. But, you know, it can only be a handful of games. I don't think that this is really, really a great concern, really a great concern right now. But yes, you'd like to have Henderson for the whole season. I mean, last year he played 159 of the 162 games, and they want him to do that again. And then that may be impossible this year, but I would say that would be, the plan right now. And also they have another guy, Vimeo Machine, who we talked about last week as, you know, a big fan of Rage Against the Machine. But he's also in the mix.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw on this Featured Artist Friday. It is David Bowie just tuning into said program. All right, one more thing about, say Grayson starts on the shelf. How much does this increase the chances of Cade Povich now coming north with the team? Or do we look at Albert Suarez kind of as the guy that fills the hole for now?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because I've been pondering it for the last day. You know, and I would say Povich, just because you could keep Suarez and in the bullpen. But I think that Suarez certainly is somebody who could, and who knows if it's just a start or two. But I think Povich has so far pitched real well down here. And Suarez, has been sort of so-so. So I would say for the moment it would be Povich, but let's take a look in the next week or two and reassess.
All right, let's talk about some positive stuff. Not saying Cade Povich being in the rotation wouldn't be a positive, but Adley Rutschman is raking here so far. 1-for-2 yesterday, 4+ batting average, OPS over 1,200. So Adley, he says he wasn't hurt, Rich. You follow the team on a daily basis. Not going to make you go Trapper John MD here in analyzing things, but how much different does he look physically and maybe from a confidence standpoint, given the fact that these numbers don't count, but 462 is better than a 162.
Yeah, he looks really good, Bob. And I think that would be it. There are a lot of positives though with the team, and not only Rutschman. I mean, the starters are pitching, are pretty much pitching very well. Eflin was not terrific last night, but and Dean Kramer is pitching tonight. But Charlie Morton's look good, and Sagano has looked good. So and Povich has looked good as a starter. So there are, and Felix Bautista looked really good the other day. So I there are a lot of positives, but it's very, very important, as we've talked several times recently, for Adley Rutschman to be a big contributor on the club. He has to be a big contributor on the club for the club to be a playoff contender, which I think that they will be. So I think it's very important that he looks good and feels good.
Rich Dubroff, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com here on this Featured Artist Friday?
Well, we have, of course, coverage from Sarasota every single day between now and the end of training camp in 16 days. And maybe we'll even get a column from Peter Schmuck here and there. That would be nice.
And that's always a benefit to your readers and baseball fans for sure. Rich, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on last minute at all. As always, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
There's Rich Dubroff, everybody. BaltimoreBaseball.com. Come back, reset the program for you. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, talks to Ravens with him, top of the hour. Joey Bosa's available. You want him? Can you afford him? That's always an interesting scenario to get into, that zany salary cap. And some other free agents could be part of the equation. What's next on Eric DaCosta's docket in regards to taking care of his own? We'll talk about that as well. Whip around Limb 15. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTypes.com. Maryland tomorrow, senior day, taking on Northwestern. Julian Reese is a senior. He's been granted an extra year of eligibility. Is it really his last home game? But now we might be living the new golden years. Let me ask you something, Nolan, before we get out to the phones. Jonas Schaefer talking Ravens, top of the hour. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's David Bowie. By the way, he's got no shortage of tunes. Love him or hate him, there's a catalog that could last way beyond our 4 hours here on the radio. Terps winning a national championship. Now, you were six when they did it in 2002. For me, that was just like, hey, thank God, because I lived a lot of heartbreakers following Maryland hoops going back to 1975. Seeing the Ravens win two Super Bowls this century. But the Orioles haven't won a World Series since Reagan's first term as president. So to you, what's the most, I don't know, from a fan standpoint, the most satisfying achievement? Now, hopefully we get to see it all happen this calendar year. Well, the Ravens would have to wait to 26, but you get the point. What would be the biggest deal for Nolan McGraw here?
Orioles still got to be that top dog in that conversation, although it is close, because Maryland basketball for me, I mean, that's one of those that, look, you joke about it all the time that I don't really get worked up. You never really see me get too high.
I've never watched a game with you.
Right. Well,
we have to remedy that.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a beer sometime.
Yeah.
But
as long as you're buying.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But yeah, I get pretty worked up about Maryland basketball in the past. And you think about some of the crushing losses and the exits they've had from the tournaments over the years. I mean, we keep bringing up the Michigan State one in 2010 just because of what happened last week with Michigan State. But even LSU in 2019, that was heartbreaking.
Got travel. I mean,
you know, you can't help but getting a little emotional seeing Sticks walk off the court in tears at the time. And, you know, he still came back the next year, but didn't get a shot.
Yeah.
And now I think that's what really fuels it and makes it an interesting debate for me between the Orioles and the Terps, which one I would rather see, is because of that unsatisfied feeling in the COVID year. And the fact that we've had to wait now 5 years since then to have a team of that caliber, or maybe even better of that caliber, that could go all the way.
Look, I used to break TVs, and this is not some BS radio story, long before I was in media. I was 19, 20, 18, watching them lose to North Carolina in the regular season in college basketball. You talk about heartbreakers. I still see Buck Williams flipping over Kenny Dinard in the 1980 ACC tournament championship game. I still see the 84 Terps up by 9. And my late great friend Bob Stahl, when I was living on Baltimore Street, looking through the mail slot, going, I know you're in there. Answer the door. So we opened the door. He walks in. He goes, who's playing? What are you watching? And then Keith Gatlin sprains his ankle. I mean, that team, I thought that 84 team, like Carolina kicked their ass a couple of times, but I thought they were destined to the Final Four, the Joe Smith team losing out in Oakland to Ray Allen and UConn, and all of the teams in the 70s that were in the top 10 that didn't even get invited to the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I broke stuff literally watching Maryland basketball. But I would figure with the Orioles, though, man.
Well, that's what I mean. It's still top dog. And
yeah,
that would be
sure. Because you're born an Oriole fan.
Right.
I mean, you were probably born a Ravens fan. I grew up a Colts fan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't become a Ravens fan until I was in my 30s. But the Orioles, it was like, that gaga goo goo Frank Robinson. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Now, if the Terps made the Final Four, you know, everyone would be on the bandwagon, and sure, it would be the biggest talking point of the week whenever that comes about. But the Orioles, I mean, you felt the energy in the city the past couple of years with this turnaround and the playoff exits, people living and dying with every single pitch, not even in the playoffs. I mean, late in the regular season, middle of June, people freaking out about bullpen decisions.
Yeah.
That's a feeling we haven't had in far too long.
Yeah, and bitching and complaining now before the season even starts.
If they were to win the World Series, that would be just a full city celebration and the fact that it has been over 40 years. You have multiple generations that are seeing this for the first time, whereas the Terps, as great as it would be, you know, a little over 20 years ago, we did taste that.
Yeah. It's been 23 years. Hard to believe. Those dudes on that team, they're in their 40s now. We have time for a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to Joe Woodbury. Joe, what's happening?
I was about to tell a quick draw that Shrimp was the fourth Beatle before Ringo, and he was the fourth Stooge.
That's right. Actually, Shemp was, he was an actual, like, blood brother of Moe and Curly. So he was a Stooge.
And then you had Joe.
That's unacceptable. They started breaking out any ball-headed dude to be Curly. That was unacceptable.
Hey, but, Bob, you woke up next Tuesday, Bob, and you heard the news. Mark Andrews was traded to the Los Angeles Ravens. You know who they are, right?
Los Angeles Ravens? Oh, the Chargers, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's the compensation?
That's just it. It will be disclosed at a later date. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because the question was asked, would you support it? Now, here's the thing. For the Ravens, this is me. I don't know about you. We got to solidify our line, whether offense first. So, really, the two people on this team right now that got to be signed in my book is Stanley 1 and Henry 2. Think about the rest of the team. A lot of people don't need to be signed yet. But those two are my must sign. Now, you free up money if you trade Andrews. Now, you're talking about the Bosa thing. I just talked to somebody today. I was like, hasn't he been hurt every year he's been in the league? I mean, how many years has he played a whole season yet?
It's been rare and few and far between.
I don't want him.
Okay.
Now, Myles Garrett, they're telling him to go out and ask. No, Hendricks. They're telling Hendricks to go out and ask for
Hendrickson,
a trade.
Hendrickson, yes.
Hendrickson, whatever. Okay. Now, the dude from the Raiders, he got the contract. Right. So, once you solidify that offensive line, because without Lamar, we are shiggity. You know what the word shiggity mean, right? Well, we ain't got our quarterback upright. So, that's the offensive line. Hey, think about how we used to see Brady cussing out his offensive line every time, you know, he got touched. You know, that's what I'm saying. So, solidify the offensive line. And we need that running back. So you're going to give Stanley a 2-3. You're going to give Henry a 2-3, whatever. And it might be just 2 years, whatever. Stanley gets the contract, like Vinny say, with a lot of bonuses and all that stuff. So then you go and get the disruptor on the defensive line. Those are, to me, the three things that will get us over the hump. Now, people talking about, well, you got some people out there that's receivers. Who the Jets let go? Davante Adams is out there wandering in the wind, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I want him. I don't know. He might cost too much money. But do we need a third receiver, or do we have a third receiver?
Well, thank you, Joe. We're coming over the top of the hour. All subjects we've talked about multiple times. If you trade Mark Andrews to the Chargers, what are they giving you in compensation? Again, you're trying to piece together things that you believe would make the Ravens a better team. Are you getting a first-round pick for him? A fifth-round pick? I mean, you just trade him for the sake of trading him and opening up cap space. I don't think Andrews is going anywhere, quite frankly. And it sounds like Stanley's sticking around. Now, if Stanley leaves, number 1A, number 1B is going to be offensive line. And in particular, tackle. But Mark Andrews, I don't know if he's leaving, and I certainly don't know if you trade him, you're going to gain an advantage in one way or another. We'll talk about that more with Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. We'll come back, whip around left 15, and then Keith Cavanaugh, I'll talk Terps.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.